Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington. Each week, we talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And we're very happy this morning to have with us John Zodi. John's the director of Bloomington's Housing and Neighborhood Development Department. So good morning, John.
Good morning, Denise. Thanks for having me.
Oh, good to have you. So tell us a little bit, what is HAND?
So HAND is the Housing and Neighborhood Development. It's a good government acronym there that we refer to as our department within the city of Bloomington that does a number of things, which I'll try to summarize briefly. But we have several community development efforts that we do in the department. So the first and a big one that a lot of folks in the city of Bloomington interact with us on is our rental inspection and our sort of neighborhood compliance issues. So if you are a rental property owner in Bloomington, and or if you're a tenant, you register your property and you have your inspections, and any issues that might arise with a rental property, that's all done out of our department. On the neighborhood compliance side, we have neighborhood compliance officers who are also inspectors who make sure our neighborhoods stay vital with making sure that we are enforcing our Bloomington City Code on weeds and trash and grass and all that kind of stuff. So trying to keep the city looking good along with the rest of the employees here at the city of Bloomington. We also have historic preservation in our department, as well as neighborhood services, which is a little different from compliance, where we have grants that we offer to neighborhood. We work with neighborhoods. We work with the neighborhood associations, of which there are several in Bloomington. So along with historic preservation and neighborhood services, those are two very specific programs that we have here in the office. And finally, the housing piece, right? So I talked about the neighborhood development piece, but the housing piece is something I think we're going to talk a lot about this morning. But affordable housing that's rental, affordable housing that's home ownership, whether you're a buyer or a renter, we try to help people obtain housing and stay in it. And that includes the development of affordable housing, as well as making sure that the existing housing is safe and affordable. Mm-hmm. That's the quick.
That's all, huh? Just those two things there.
We have 17 hardworking employees here in the department.
It sounds like it. So, when we all hear a lot about affordable housing, so, when people are talking about that, what do we mean? What are we talking about when we say that?
Well, it's a great question. I think, let me start by saying that Bloomington's housing market is rather inflated. It's one of the most expensive in the state. So affordability can sometimes be in the eye of the beholder, right? I've been a young professional in Bloomington trying to find that first house. It took me a long time, but I did find one eventually. But as far as standards go and grant programs and statistics, affordable housing relates to a certain income range of folks. So there's what's called the area median income. So if we're looking at how someone qualifies, so anybody that would participate in our programs here at the city, or where there's government money involved, is someone low income? What does that mean? It's important to talk about the numbers. So area median income for a family of four in Bloomington this year in 2021 is the number is $76,300. And so that's area median income for a household of four. And the range goes above and below that and expands and contracts based on the household number. So really you're looking at someone who makes 30% of area median income of that 76,000, all the way up to 120% is sort of the affordable range. Now, 80% to 120% of area median income is where you get into what's called workforce housing, where people are, they're making that range of income, but they still may have trouble finding affordable housing. So it's a huge range. It depends on the household number. But it's important. We have to have that number to know whether someone qualifies. And those standards are in place, under our programs from the federal government and stuff we do here at the city. So affordable housing is a broad term, but there are some parameters that very specifically are put around that.
Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at that range that you're mentioning around that 76,300 and going high and low, I would imagine that housing costs could be, especially for the lower end of that or below, could be a significant percentage of somebody's budget.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so one of the things you look, that's a great, I'm glad you said that, because if someone is paying more than 30% of their monthly income mm-hmm. on housing, they're what's known as sort of house cost burdened, right? Rent burden. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of a common statistic that's used. So we try to make sure that affordability is put into those ranges and that that's a statistic that is real, all right? Because then if you're spending more than that, you are cost burdened on housing and you're not able to spend money on other things. And depending on your personal situation, you have childcare and all that kind of stuff. So we want to try to make sure that those who are cost burdened have options for affordable housing here in the city.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting, you know, what you mentioned too, that I don't think a lot of people think about that part, but you mentioned working professionals having difficulty finding affordable housing.
Right. Yeah, it's a big problem. We have, you know, employers that want to hire folks. It's been in the news, you know, employers want to hire folks, they want to build housing. And so, because it is tough, you know, I was that working professional, young professional 15 years ago, and I spent 3 years looking for a house. And, you know, the way to buy a house was much different than it is now. So I had a very patient realtor, but the housing market was still inflated back then. And so you really have to think about, you know, what people are wanting as far as housing goes, where they want to live. A lot of people want to live in the city, but can they afford to? And it is a challenge. So we're trying to make sure that we have options available. And it's a really exciting problem to tackle. Not only do you have working professionals that need affordable housing, you also have people who have been chronically homeless or have extremely low income that work with other programs here in the city too. So it's a broad challenge for us.
Oh, yeah. And I would say too, you know, with this whole pandemic situation that we've been dealing with the, you know, last almost 2 years now, but how do you see that impacting this whole housing affordability landscape from what you see in your department?
Well, I would say first and foremost, with the pandemic, it's created a whole nother category of folks who might be facing eviction or who realize problems with rent and housing costs due to the pandemic. So if, for instance, I heard from somebody 2 weeks ago, it was a dad who has had to stay at home for a couple of weeks because his daughter had to be in quarantine. And so he was going to be late on his rent. You know, I referred him to the township trustee in his township. And so that's sort of one of those first stop places that people can go to get. But this is a really good time to talk about the many resources in the community that help with stuff like that. So if someone is facing eviction, you know, we have the community justice and mediation program and the housing eviction prevention program. Mm-hmm. The courts have just rolled out an eviction diversion program. Mm-hmm. You know, when we talk and you hear about eviction moratoriums and backed rent, you know, through the federal government's American Rescue Plan and through the CARES Act that was passed last year, there is millions of dollars for rental assistance that the state of Indiana has. And so we are trying to refer people to that program. If they are in immediate need, they can go to their township trustees. The county commissioners have allocated money to the trustees to help with rental assistance. So short answer is, Denise, it created a whole nother urgent need out there. Facing with a whole new at-risk population of being evicted or not being able to keep up with rent or mortgage payments and creating a whole nother bit of a crisis, if you will, on how we're going to keep people in their homes.
Mm-hmm. And are you finding too, is that getting better or worse from where you sit and what you're seeing with inquiries or questions?
Sure. Well, we've convened a group of folks in town that are kind of all the resource providers, and we're staying in touch. And since we have a new moratorium on evictions right now that's based on COVID cases, we're talking. And I think the important thing now, I think it's a really important point to make, that it's not an issue of money. There isn't enough money. It's not that there's not enough money out there. It's, do people know where to go and how to get help? And that's a really important point that, you know, again, thank you for having me on, because, you know, I recommend that people go to their Township trustees, if they need help, they can call us at 812-349-3420, and we can help them find their township trustee. We can help point them to the state of Indiana's emergency rental assistance program. It's really getting the information out there that's really important, because the money is there, right? This isn't one of those cases where, there's tons of money. We just have to make sure that, number one, someone qualifies, and number two, that they're able to get it.
That sounds great. And so thank you for your role in kind of helping navigate and getting people connected with that.
Yeah.
So you work too, along with rental folks, you work with people looking to become first-time home buyers as well.
Right. So we have a number of programs here in the city that help people. There are three specifically, that actually help financially. Let me split this out a little bit. If you're going to participate in one of those programs, you have to go through what's called a home buyers club class. So we, in our department, we provide home ownership sort of counseling. That's part of the housing counseling program that we run here in the department, where you participate in a class. It's usually a Saturday, and you go through different modules about financial management and home inspections and home maintenance and all the things you kind of need to know that, you know, I think we all wished if we didn't go through that as well. That would have been really helpful to know a little bit about home maintenance, because I'm not a handy guy. But you know, it's helping people sort of understand the home ownership process, because it is, you know, if you sit down at a closing, you're handed a stack of paper and you feel like you're signing your life away, right? And so people need to understand that process. And so with patient, helpful realtors and lenders and, you know, brokers and all that kind of stuff, it's we help people understand that process. And then there are financial assistance programs. So we have two down payment assistance closing cost programs that can help people for up to $10,000 for down payments. And then we have what's called the shared appreciation home ownership program that the city rolled out last year that can help someone up to $50,000 get down payment. And then there's some affordability in there that helps keep the property affordable so that we get more houses becoming more permanently affordable in the community. So it helps that market stabilize a little bit, and you're not just doing a one-shot affordability house and then it gets sold to somebody else who doesn't keep it affordable. We want to try to have sustained affordable housing in the community to build that program. So people can, again, call us 349-3420 and get some information on that, on those programs if they're interested.
So to get started with something like that, they would take one of the classes then that you offer to be eligible for any of those programs?
Yeah, they would want to contact the office to see what they, kind of where to start, right? Because maybe they've already been through one, maybe they've gotten a program out there that kind of does something similar. But to participate in one of the programs, you got to have certain things done. And so the best thing to do is contact the office, and do those quarterly. There's ones kicking off in September. And we have housing counseling services in the office. So if someone has a question, you know, our program manager for housing counseling does quite a bit of work, just one-on-one with people too. He has experience in the mortgage industry. And so just kind of helping people through that process, because it can be pretty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it can be daunting. And I'm sure you hear questions like people would, a lot of times you probably hear, I wish I knew, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty I wish I'd known.
Do you see it with talking to people, or is there any things that stand out where, oh, I wish I'd know that, or that's great information? What do people find the most helpful?
Well, I think it's, you know, understanding the process of buying a house, understanding kind of what has to be in place. You know, there are income qualifications for this stuff, these programs that we have. And so I think it's people just hearing from professionals and kind of understanding the nuts and bolts of it. And you're sort of outside of the actual process. So you're not sitting in an office sort of going through a stack of paper. You're hearing from someone, here's what you need to know about home maintenance. Here's what you need to know about financial management when you're in that. Because there can be such a frenzy, right? Houses in Bloomington don't stay on the market very long right now. And so it's a seller's market. And so that's why it's really important to kind of take a breath and say, okay, if you're going to do this, here's what you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Are you finding that people are able to find entry-level homes, or are we kind of, has that been a challenge?
It's I'd say it's an ongoing challenge. We work with the Bloomington Housing Authority, who have people that have housing vouchers. They have and they have a waiting list on that, and they're trying to get people in houses. So you've got to make sure you have folks that you can work with that that will make housing available for folks for rental. And for homeownership, it is, for homeowners, it is tough. And specifically here in the city, we're trying to make sure that the housing stock is where it needs to be with that, creating that opportunity for somebody to be a homeowner. So the more we can help them, we want to do it. But it is a challenge, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you'd mentioned, too, with shared appreciation, homeownership, people getting people in neighborhoods and keeping things affordable. And talk a little bit more, if you would. You mentioned Hand's role with helping neighborhoods and doing neighborhood grants and historic preservation. So what type of project has Hand helped neighborhoods with under some of those programs?
Sure. Well, on the historic preservation side, let me kind of start there. That is, we have the Historic Preservation Commission. So any property that is, there's a list of historic properties in the city, and they have different statuses. So something can be contributing or notable or outstanding, and it can be locally designated too. So for instance, last week, the city council is in the process right now considering designating a historic home on the, sort of the east side. And that is a notable structure. The person that built that was a local religious leader and a philanthropist, and in the early days helped keep IU here in Bloomington. So lots of notable. There was also purportedly a conductor on the Underground Railroad. And so this property is very special, and our historic preservation program does that work. But there are also neighborhoods in the city that have historic designations. And so to sort of keep neighborhoods vital and to sort of preserve that sort of quality of place fabric in the community, we think it's really important to understand that historic preservation, kind of the saving our history, if you will, mean everything from a beautiful historic structure to a place where something really important happened, to a piece of history in Bloomington that is rare, that may not be around if we were to get rid of it. And so that's a really important piece of the not just the way the community looks, but how we understand where we live and understanding the culture. And so that's a really key element of the historic preservation program as it relates to neighborhoods. And with neighborhood improvement grants, so we give what are called neighborhood improvement grants, and we also have small and simple grants. So we have given neighborhood improvement grants, for instance, for neighborhoods to kind of take on landscaping and to sort of beautify their neighborhood. Small and simple grants, we awarded a neighborhood grant to get rid of invasive species. So a neighborhood went on a honeysuckle. they went to war with honeysuckle and cleared a bunch of that out. And so those are things that the department can offer, very little bit of money. Small and simple grants are, $500 to $1,000. And it's something, it's a small project that a neighborhood wants to take on, all the way up to those neighborhood improvement grants. The Bloomington Housing Authority and the Crestmont community up on West 11th Street, around Summit Street, we provided funds for them to put in pet stations, when you're out walking, trash cans. So things that just help the neighborhood, and we know what that is as long as it's eligible. And so it's those small things that when you put them all together, it can make a big difference in the community. Mm-hmm. It's really nice to see that kind of stuff.
That's exciting. And so a neighborhood association then would contact you if they have an idea and kind of go from there.
That's right. Yep. We have a program manager. Her name's Angela Van Roy, and she works with the neighborhoods. That's her job to kind of work with the neighborhoods, just kind of see what she's the liaison with neighborhoods and any kinds of issues. We just hear about what's going on in the neighborhoods and what people might need. And we do two neighborhood cleanups a year. So neighborhoods apply to the city, and we go, and the whole staff and the whole department, along with others in the city, come out, and we have a sanitation truck, a wood chipper, a hazmat disposal, and then we it's basically a garage. We can create a garage sale where people bring whatever they want out of their house, and it can either be it's a way or taken to Habitat Restore Goodwill. So they're really great. Saturdays we do when we do those.
That's fun. So if a neighborhood can just contact to schedule something like that.
Well, they have to apply and then mm-hmm. we do. So yeah, that's the neighborhood kind of starts it and gets the application in, and then we decide which ones to fund. So
great. Yeah. So that not much happens in your department then.
Well, you know, it's slow all the time. We just really kind of twiddle our thumbs, but yeah. No, I will say there's a really good sense of urgency around here, especially with the housing. I came on, mm-hmm. I've just been on about 6 months. And so as soon as I came on, there's just busy, and always something going on. So it's exciting.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for spending the time with us this morning and sharing a lot of really great information.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Denise. And again, people can call the Department of Housing and Neighborhood Development, 812-349-3420, and let us know what you need, and we'll do our best to help you.
Great. Well, thank you so much. This has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.